Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. We're going to talk a little Syria here, and oh my goodness, are we getting further involved in this conflict right smack in the middle of 10 years of Iraq. Yes, the Iraq invasion 10 years ago. And do you know that a dozen car bombs and suicide blasts ripped through the Shiite districts in Baghdad? How awful is that? South of the Iraqi capital was terrible. 50 people dead on the 10th anniversary of the U.S. invasion that booted Saddam Hussein. And, you know, you can't go backwards. You can't, you know, isn't that there's something you're supposed to learn from history, however, but you can't go backwards and correct some of the mistakes. We lost a ton of blood in the sands over there. We also lost a ton of money that was frittered away. And what about those war reparations? And while this is happening, are the people better off? So the bombs just ripped through the market and a very, very heavily, what they would call fortified green zone district across the capital. A suicide bomber still slips through, attacks a police base just south of the capital. And, you know, this just tells you what it's like to live still in and around Baghdad or in Iraq. One of the cab drivers, I thought was interesting what he said. He was quoted saying that, you know, I was driving my taxi and suddenly I felt my car rocked. Smoke was all around. I saw two bodies on the ground. People were running and shouting everywhere. It was like we took a step backward in time. So now there's concerns over security there. And the cabinet postponed some local elections in two provinces for up to 6 months because of threats to the workers and the violence that's happening. And, you know, who's in charge? Nouri al-Maliki. He's the guy in charge of Iraq, if you want to call it that, for the prime minister. And so the polls go ahead everywhere else on April 20th, but the two places they won't. And what's the reason behind this? No group is claiming any kind of responsibility at this time for what happened. But the Islamic State of Iraq, the wing of al-Qaeda, is vowing to gain lost ground in the war with U.S. troops. And this year, the group has carried out a ton of high-profile attacks. So, you know, how about that? 10 years later, and look what happens. Since the last election in 2010, Maliki Sunni and Kurdish critics accuse him of just trying to consolidate his authority, trying to have a little fiefdom, and abusing his control of security forces to pressure people, you know, foes, if you will, and for not living up to what was supposed to be a power-sharing deal. Is there any place on earth where power-sharing, the concept of that, works? And especially in Iraq? I don't think so. So it's only gotten worse since the troops left in December of 2011. And, you know, and this is a preview of Afghanistan, which will be worse in one sense because the people have such a high rate of illiteracy there, and they'll just fling back into the arms of the Taliban, if you will. But, and I'm not trying to be cynical here from the top, but this is what we're seeing. This is a picture that's going to be happening in Afghanistan as well. So since the troops left, woohoo, thank you, wow, we love America, thank you for your help. We love our freedom and our purple thumbs and all that. Since that happened, you don't have that buffer anymore, and Washington's influence isn't there, so now it's all Nouri al-Maliki, and people either hate him or love him. And you know what it depends on? If you're Shiite, Sunni, or a Kurd, that's what it depends on. And this is exactly what was happening before. So what's changed? Let's hope they don't completely slip into the abyss, but this was so inevitable, wasn't it? And the 50 people dead on the anniversary of the Iraqi invasion, you know, it was planned, and the whole idea was because it was the 10th year anniversary. And while that's happening in Syria, there is a push, although the White House is denying it, to jump in and do something because of the amount of people, not only the amount of people that have died so far in 2 years, but the fact that it's been 70,000, but the reports that there is a high probability that chemical weapons have been used in Syria. Ooh, the House Intelligence Committee was kicking this around. That's where some of this has slipped out of. And Congressman Mike Rogers said that there was definitely this possibility that President Bashar al-Assad's regime was doing that, and that they really believe that this is the case, and they just simply need more field verification. But since the last year and a half, they're coming to that conclusion, because how are they wiping out that amount of people with a limited military strike? You know, so what should the United States do? Well, the United States had limited efforts, very small capabilities that could be that could even be used to render the chemical weapons, you know, the system delivery not for use, if that's possible. So this was a whole classified session that he was part of, along with a few others, key members of that committee. So now the word is we're evaluating the chemical weapons possibility in Syria. And the opposition, you know, now Syria dismissed the charges, but the opposition had used the weapon supposedly. So now it's the rebels pointing fingers and the Syrian government pointing fingers. So they're both saying that each other used chemical weapons. What does that mean? I love what Jay Carney, the White House flack, says. I mean, this was his quote. "We are looking carefully at allegations of chemical weapons use. We are evaluating them. We have no evidence to substantiate the charge that the opposition has used chemical weapons. We are skeptical of a regime that has lost all credibility, and we would also warn the regime against making these kinds of charges as any kind of pretext or cover for its use of chemical weapons." And he wouldn't go any further with that, like, okay, are we jumping in? I mean, is that it? The gloves are off, and hey, here we go again. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, because this would be number three if we jumped in with boots on the ground. I don't think we can. I mean, I don't think we have the political wherewithal. We definitely don't have that. And then we've got a voluntary military. Now we're going to say, geez, okay, Iraq, Afghanistan, and how can we just sit there and let Syria turn into what it's turned into? So we got to work our magic over there. Yeah. But here's the thing. If the reports are substantiated at the field level, then, man, you'd have to think that the president's line was crossed. Because remember, the president said, you know, we start to see that, the annihilation of the people in that way, then he was going to jump in. So any immediate action? Nothing has happened so far at this point. And, you know, they have to have that verification. But if they get that verification, are we jumping in here? Because remember, Obama said there would be consequences, that the Assad government would be held accountable for if chemical weapons were used. But what are the consequences? We don't even know what that entails. What, we are jumping into this thing? How about assassinating this guy, you know? All right, are you killing it? Or you think you're going to kill it anyway, in your brackets? Get a little help from RJ Bell from pregame.com next.
Being prepared against possible food shortages and economic collapse is not complicated. Just remember two words: disaster stuff. Add .com after those two words and you've got just one site for all your preparedness needs. DisasterStuff.com prepares your family against food shortages with Linden Farms freeze-dried foods in buckets or Gourmet Reserves freeze-dried food in number 10 cans, both with free shipping. Purify and rid your water of contaminants with a Big Berkey or other Berkey system and get free shipping plus a water level spigot or fluoride filter at cost, and protect your radios and other electronics from EMPs with our EMP Faraday bags starting at just $5.90. When the food shortages and economic instability happens, be ready with all your stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Just remember two words: DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschrammel from Midas Resources. As you know, federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it'll protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, 1-800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237. 7, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Whoa, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue River. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. You took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Just baby, won't you look at you now?
All right, it's tournament time. Don't forget we have our big tournament bracket busters coming up on our next show here on America Tonight. One of my favorite people, RJ Bell, is so fun to talk to, so knowledgeable from pregame.com. He's got to love this stuff because he is such a numbers cruncher, and I love the way he analyzes some of the history of this tournament and the odds of winning and the prop bets and all that sort of stuff. So he's in our virtual green room. Let's dive in. Hey, RJ, how you been?
Excellent, excellent. You know, Kate, you make a great point, though, is the tournament's really been 64 teams. If you set aside for a minute these playing games, which really aren't that consequential, it's been 64 teams since 1985. So we've got 28 years or so of data in which we can learn from that will guide what we should do this year.
Who has the best odds to win the title? What are the top couple of teams that have the best odds?
Surprisingly, because they really haven't been at the very top for a majority of the season, but right now Louisville has the best odds, 5-1. Then you've got Indiana and Miami of Florida, which is a surprise at 8-1, both those teams. Miami of Florida is actually a team that would really hurt Vegas. Miami was available at 100-1 earlier this year. I know a professional bettor, actually, that has a 100-1 ticket in his pocket on Miami of Florida, now down to 8-1. Then we've got three teams at 10-1, Duke, Florida, Kansas.
Mm. And some of the worst odds on the board, I would imagine, are the teams that aren't as highly seeded, right?
Exactly right. Yeah, in fact, they list about most of the 12 and 13 seeds, and then they just have something called the field. And with the field, you get 150-1 if any of the 40 teams or so not listed. So you can get like 18 of those teams for all together in a bundle for 150-1. Now, I have seen some of the worst teams individually at 5,000-1. So if you want to take a real long shot, it can, you know, 5,000-1, clearly huge payoff. Keep in mind, though, it's been 24 straight seasons that the winner of the tournament has been a 4 seed or better. So really, there's 16 teams, history tells us, that have a chance this year.
Ooh, that's a good statistic, not to go so far against the grain. You also sent me a really cool thing that I thought was so funny. You know, we talk about the lottery, the crazy chances of being hit by lightning better than winning the lottery. But you could say almost the same in a different way for the perfect brackets odds. What are the odds there?
Yeah, this is, you know, one of the nice things. One of the nice things at pregame.com is we have a posting forum, so I get a lot of feedback instantly if the content is good or, you know, if they're indifferent to it. And this perfect bracket, people love it. So the odds or the number of possible brackets, 9.2 quintillion. Now that's a number 9 with 18 zeros. Now another way to think about it is if you take 9 trillion, multiply that by 1 million, you've got 9 quintillion. Now a few other ways to quantify that. If everyone on the planet randomly filled out one bracket, the odds are over 1 billion to 1 that anyone will have a perfect bracket. Now check this out. If one bracket per second was filled out, it would take 292 billion years for all possible brackets to be filled out. By the way, that's 20 times longer than the universe has existed.
I love that. That really puts it into perspective, RJ. We're talking with RJ Bell, pregame.com. You got to check out the site. It's awesome. Now, you know what people want. They're sitting there in offices. They've been doing this. They're agonizing over it. Some people right now listening to us, I guarantee it, are filling out brackets. And they want to look, okay, first round, second round, Sweet 16. They're circling teams, and some of them have no idea. It's like you look at the first round. Are there any good little tips or statistics there that we should look for?
Absolutely. And what you want to do is you want to look at the top and at the bottom of the seeds. You want to know how aggressively to move the number ones out through the rounds, and also what are the ceilings for the higher seeds or the worst seeds. So the number ones really move well. They're undefeated in the first round. Most people know that. They actually win 88% of the time in the second round, and they actually win 72% of the time in the third round. So literally 3 out of 4 or so number one seeds make the Elite Eight. Now, when you look at the ceilings, you want to look at and say, okay, once you get to round 2, don't pick any seed worse than a number 12 to win in round 2. Of 448 teams that's won in round 2, only 7 of them are worse than a 12 seed. So only 1.6%. So 12 seeds kind of your ceiling on that round. Now, when you go to the next round, you chop off the 12 seeds. You don't want to advance anyone into the Elite 8 that's worse than an 11. 26 teams worse than an 11 have gotten to the Sweet 16. They're 1 in 25 advancing into the Elite 8.
Wow.
So that, and one last thing, and this might be the best one piece of advice for your listeners out there if you just want one. You should have exactly 1 or 2 number one seeds in the Final Four. The Final Four has had exactly 1 or 2 number one seeds 22 of 28 years. So only 6 years has it been other than that in 28 years. And it is something that people make a big mistake. They usually advance 3 and they say, oh, well, you know, I got 1 upset. Well, no, no. History tells you 1 or 2. In fact, you can bet here in Vegas, will all 4 number one seeds make the Final Four? Yes pays 25 to 1.
Ooh.
So that's how big of a long shot it is to have all 4.
Wow, yes, pays 20. That's amazing. That's a pretty good bet, though, if you want to lay something like that. You know, why not? Because you know this, RJ, there's the serious people and the people that follow. Then there's people that, even the people that come to Vegas, they just want to have a little fun, and they're kind of looking for that and want to put a little dough on something, and that kind of piques their interest in watching it. It would be interesting to see if somebody actually hit that. You and I have talked about this before, but to me, and because I lived in Vegas as well and enjoyed my time there, really, really loved it. It seemed like every day was Christmas to me. And so the Super Bowl.
Well, at least there were neon lights every day.
That's right. To me, what was so cool is the sports books were neat because they knew me. They put, you know, my little crummy college, Ohio University games on if I wanted to watch it. But the Super Bowl is huge. But so is tournament time. It is really fun to be in Vegas, isn't it, during the tournament?
Absolutely. Oh, you, I didn't know that. Mex County, baby. I went to High State.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl in aggregate. Now, keep in mind, there's 67 March Madness games, one Super Bowl. Those 67 tournament games, though, in aggregate, exceed the Super Bowl handle. We estimate about $12 billion worldwide on the NCAA tournament, $10 billion worldwide on the Super Bowl, so about 20% more. So as a single event, it's the most action. And especially here in Vegas, on that first Thursday and Friday, people literally will line up at 2 a.m. the night before to save seats, because they want to have a seat come the next morning. And there's one sportsbook, the Mirage here, that has an 85-foot screen set up this year. Not 85 inches, 85 feet of screen to watch March Madness.
That's crazy. Do you have a favorite in this, or is it just so many games, you're just going game by game?
I like teams that have had a deceiving year to the negative, where, you know, just inherently better than people think. I think Florida is better than people think because of injury, and also which has cleared up some of those injuries. And number two, they're a good defensive team, and defense travels. Remember, in the NCAA tournament, it's all road games, and the outside shooting's a challenge with the backdrop, the big arenas. Mm-hmm. So you want defense travels. Florida has one of the best defenses in the nation. 10-1, I like Florida.
10-1, Florida. All right, that's a great tip there. I would say Ohio University has a long shot, but they're not even in it, so I can't go there this time around. I like Temple. 500-1 is their odds. Do you love that? The Philly teams. Oh, what can you do? You can never pick for the home team. Never. Can't do emotion in this, right?
Well, that's the trick, is, and that's really the paradox, Kate, is you should bet the teams you follow the closest, the most, but mm-hmm. you should bet against them and on them equally and be impartial. I'm a Steeler fan. I probably have my highest winning percentage betting Steeler games, but I probably bet against them at least as much as I bet on them.
Yeah, that's
smart.
Hey, you're smart. All right, enjoy the tournament. We always like you having you on the show, RJ. Thanks so much. Pregame.com. Check it out. We'll talk to you again.
Always fun with you, Kate.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay, and after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to TaxHelpOnline.com. That's TaxHelpOnline.com.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free. A 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply. Be in control. Be self-sufficient and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
UtopiaSilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we the people can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights. We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on health care and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
In 1965, this was the sound. Producer John. One more time. One more time. One more time. Fantasy. Metal drag. Papa's got a brand new bag. Come to mama. And take your fantasy.
Big shout out to Cop in Jersey, Jack Down Under, and Jill, who's listening to us in Buenos Aires. You gotta love that, right? Jack and Jill, I put them equal billing right next to each other. Well, I always say on this show, and it's really true, I've never seen anything like it when I go and I check the mail, because, you know, usually people, you'll get emails here and there, but we get blowout emails. So in other words, if I don't clean out my emails, if I don't look at the emails, I'm going to peg that red storage usage meter. So without further ado, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Dennis McMahon, who says, regarding the Harvard study on sugary drinks, how much of these youth obesity epidemics is the food plus the sedentary lifestyle? Heck, I see kids, particularly college students with bus passes, taking buses for a few blocks. We had good and plenty of sugary drinks and great candy during the 50s, but the sons and daughters of the greatest generation went outdoors after school and ran around. We did have to get back for dinner, and John Cameron Swayze, or Huntley and Brinkley, i.e., the news. All right, so, you know what, there is a, he does have a point to that. Which is, I can remember when I was a kid, we ran around, we were like playing flashlight tag. My mother was screaming for us to come into the house to get to dinner, because we wanted to stay outside and we were running around. Either somebody was, you know, somebody was sitting there starting up a game of hoop, even if it was half court, or something else was going on, and you just didn't want to miss what was happening in the neighborhood, and it usually involved some kind of physical activity. There isn't as much of that with the game playing and that, he says, the sedentary lifestyle, it's so true. We're not moving around. That's why even with adults, because, of course, your metabolism slows down and, man, it's so hard to get it going, that there's a new movement, although I think this is tough because people are multitasking all over the place, where you don't really sit in a chair. So, in other words, you stand up and do your work, and that's how you're set up. You're set up so that you can stand up and do your work and not be sitting the whole time, because you'd burn more calories and move around more. Even some people have those giant balls that you sit on because you're kind of rolling around, and it's just better for you than sitting in a chair. I think that could be pretty scary. You walk into an office and everybody's on one of those sort of bouncy balls. You know what's going to happen there. It used to be that when you were a kid, some wise guy would pull out the chair and you had no idea you were going to sit down. Poof, you fell down. Imagine if somebody just would kick the ball from underneath you and think that would be a funny trick. I don't think that would work in an office. And I think even the standing up thing is a little bit much, probably. However, kids and saying that sugary drinks and that's why we're seeing what we're seeing, I think is not right, because there's so much more to it, let's face it, than just sugary drinks. It has to do with a lot of different things, and that's to his point. All right, this one comes to us from Stephen Price. Stephen says, "Hello, Ms. Delaney. I've been listening to you for a while now. I really enjoy the offerings. I do have to tell you, I'm so sick of us getting involved in foreign lands. It's not because I'm an isolationist. It's because I'm a realist. We really don't have the money to be spending in the Middle East and then not getting anything in return for it. Look what just happened in Iraq, for goodness sake, with more people being killed, more chaos. And so it seems not much has changed. How depressing is that? What's going to happen? We leave Afghanistan, and now the possibility of some kind of interaction in Syria? I'm sorry, we cannot be the policemen of the world, even though we really would like to, if we do not stay home once in a while. We will ultimately find we could be in the same situation that some of the European countries are in. Your thoughts?" Yeah, everybody relies on the United States, and I would say that some of the areas where you cut out are the people that don't need it, the people we've been propping up for a long time. I don't think we need to give them money unless there's some sort of natural disaster and we're helping out or whatever the reason is. But writing these big checks, you know, strategically, that was the idea. Remember, part of the reason for doing that is to have our own set of allies and also to have places in the world where we can go and put ourselves in the right position to get to somewhere else should we have to be over there quickly, meaning, you know, something bubbles up and it's going to affect us, we can strike. We can strike as fast as possible. However, to just say it's about striking and being within the distance of doing that, forget that. I think it's time somebody did look at the places where we're giving money, look at the entire list and say, okay, just like an accountant, no feelings, no emotion, we just can't do this anymore. We'd love to do it. We just cannot do it anymore. Let's move to this one. This is from Jake, who listens to us in Austin. And Jake says, "Kate, I don't know if you filled out your brackets or not. I've kind of been struggling over mine. I have really, really, really debated in the first round. And even as I go further through it, maybe I'm just overthinking it. Do you think? How hard is it to do these brackets? I've only done them twice before. While I am a sports fan, I have to confess I am not a college hoops aficionado. Not even close. I only have a tepid interest, so I don't know most of these teams, and maybe I'm just researching too much." Well, here's the thing. If you look at the odds and you see what the brackets are, like first round, and, you know, that 16 seeds are 0 for 112, and 15 seeds are 6 for 112, and, you know, use some common sense when you're filling it out. And, you know, even from the start, you look at the odds, and if you're looking at a team that has some crazy amount of odds, like 1,000 to 1, probably they're not going to go very far. There is always a chance, however, and that's why we like the big dance. because of the uncertainty. Cinderella, every once in a while, finds the right slipper. And if that happens, then the team that by all statistical analysis that's not supposed to be there ends up there, then, you know, announcers are flabbergasted. It can happen. Certainly it can happen. And I think that's why we're also drawn into it. The pools, the being involved in it, watching the games a little bit more because of who's going to be the winner, the 64 teams and one, and figuring out, you know, figuring out what's happening every single day and if you're in it and all of that, but also the idea that there could be an underdog, there could be an upset, there could be a team that defies what logic and statistics have told us for a long time with the tournament. This one from Jeff, and Jeff says, Kate, I don't understand. I don't understand, my dear. Why, oh, why Stephen Colbert's sister would want to even get involved in politics? For goodness sake, if she watches what's going on with her brother, wouldn't it be much more fun to be a part of his show than actually be in the game? Do you think he'll take the gloves off when it comes to sis? Well, here's what's interesting. In South Carolina, because that's what he's referring to, Colbert's sister won the Democratic nomination. And it is, of course, getting a lot of airplay. But you have the former governor, Mark Sanford, who finished first in Tuesday's Republican primary for the U.S. House special election in South Carolina. In fact, Sanford fell well short of the 50% margin needed to avoid the runoff, but he's going to compete against the next top contender April 2nd. And then after that, you go from there and you look and you see that Stephen Colbert's sister is also in the middle of this. And, you know, she's a businesswoman who was a longtime favorite, or considered to be a favorite, on the Democratic side over the opponent, Ben Frazier. So she's going to compete against the Republican nominee in the general election in May. And her name is Elizabeth Colbert Bush, and she is the sister of Stephen Colbert, and she wins the nomination. It's so crazy because, you know, Colbert says, hey, it's my sister and I'm willing to help her. So Willie famously used his bully pulpit, which he does have. A lot of people follow Colbert and, you know, actually touch on this. I'll be curious to watch this. Because remember, when Sanford was governor, he infamously told the public, and this was back in 2009, that he hiked the Appalachian Trail, but he was actually traveling to Argentina to fool around with his mistress. He and his wife were divorced a year later. He finished his second term in 2011. So now he's asking for that second chance. Will he get the second chance, or will she end up beating him? The Charleston area especially is heavily Republican, so I'm not too sure. She might have a little bit of a climb, or will they look at her and think, eh, you know, we're done with this guy. Let's go, let's vote here, because we can't vote for him, so if we're Republicans, maybe we just won't vote at all. And it would be interesting if she does. I think it'd be interesting if she does win it. One other quick one, this one from The Bomb. And The Bomb says, Kate, two words, Lindsay Lohan has to go. I know you don't talk a lot about entertainment, but isn't it great that she accepted that plea deal and she's going to have to do some lockdown in rehab? You think she'll make it? Yeah, it's like 90 days. It's a drug rehab facility. Well, we'll see if she makes it. 90 days can be mighty long. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Over 50,000 satisfied squatting customers can't be wrong. If you suffer from difficult or painful bowel movements, join the thousands who are finding success with a Squatty Potty. Not a cleanse, ointment, or pill, Squatty Potty is a simple, lightweight, yet sturdy footstool that fits around any toilet and elevates your feet. Squatty Potty improves your posture, and that allows proper alignment of the colon. The result is faster, more effective elimination and relief from nagging constipation, hemorrhoids, IBS, and bloating. Loading. Squatty Potty is doctor recommended and endorsed and comes with a 60-day hassle-free money-back guarantee. The Squatty Potty, a healthy step in the right direction. Squatty Potty starts at just $34.95 and can only be ordered by calling 855-628-1099 or through our website, SquattyPotty.com, spelled SquattyPotty.com. Squatty Potty, healthy colon, happy life.
Let me tell you, as somebody who grew up for, you know, in the early parts of my life, you know, 1 through 6, something like that, in New York, I can remember my first trip to the Statue of Liberty. It was so cool. If you go to New York City, even if you think it's a cesspool, Izzy, or any of you out there who are not big fans of New York, the one thing you should do is check out the Statue of Liberty. It is pretty cool. It is. It's worth that boat ride over. And now it's going to reopen by July 4th, they say. The Secretary of the Interior, Ken Salazar, made that announcement. But it's been closed since October 29th because they had a bunch of infrastructure damage. Why? Superstorm Sandy. In every movie, like, you know, the doom and gloom movies, poor Lady Liberty gets trashed, drowning, falling apart, even in that television series Fringe, copper, beautiful copper, because it wasn't oxidized like it is now. Then the oxidized side, and there's where there's problems. But the repairs cost $28 million. That's what the Department of Transportation had to use to fix the Statue of Liberty. Because here's what happened. They had docks. They had problems with the docks. A lot of damage, in other words. So they had to wait. To get that fixed before they could open it. And it's interesting because the crown was, they're going to have reopen the Lady Liberty's crown after it was closed after the September 11th attacks. So it's pretty good, pretty exciting stuff, actually. It's $28 million. It's your money and my money. Let's go see what she looks like now. Talk about a facelift that costs a little bit of coin. There's one of them. Worth it, worth it, worth it. I'll say it again. If you're in that area, to make the trek. It really is. Speaking of making the trek, some crazy amount of money, like amount of people, rather, like 200,000 jam St. Peter's Square. Why? For the Pope. St. Francis, whoops, not Saint, but Pope Francis, was officially inaugurated as the Catholic Church's 266th pontiff. And there was just thousands of people in the sunlight there in the square watching. And Francis talked about the poor people, because he always talks about the poor people. And he was given the official symbols of the papacy. What do you get? You get a lamb's wool shawl. That represents the role of the Good Shepherd. The fisherman's ring, that represents the role of spreading the gospel. The ring is in solid gold, but made of gold-plated silver, because he wants to be simple. That's his whole thing as a Jesuit. And he delivered his homily in Italian, and his message was about looking after the poor and the sick, as well as the natural world. And he reflected on some of the symbols of the day the Catholics celebrate the Feast of St. Joseph. St. Joseph's Day is a big day in an area where I'm from, in Philadelphia and South Jersey. A lot of Italian people celebrate it, so he talked about that, and he's off to the races. It has been official, but it certainly is now. What happens in St. Peter's Square, and I said there's like 200,000 people or so that are out there, after his homily, 500 priests go out into the square. Poof, 500 are dispensed. So imagine what that would be like, the crowd control. They're out there because there's tourists, there's pilgrims, there's local people, there's dignitaries, blah, blah, blah. And they go out and they give them communion. They make their way to the square and they give them communion. So pretty pretty interesting to watch the spectacle of it. I think that's why so many people were enthralled with the Pope and who was going to be the next Pope and the smoke. And it's, you know, it's the whole symbols thing. It's part of history, even if it's not part of your background, because you have, you know, you're not Catholic and you don't have much to do with Catholicism or know much. 17 years for $400 million in a submarine fire. A shipyard worker was sentenced to that. You remember this story? Oh, I remember seeing the pictures of it. $400 million submarine fire. Wow. Talk about up in smoke. You were talking about the smoke on the, you know, and the shipyards. And that's that was incredible, seeing those pictures. I can still, like I said, I can still remember it, how brutal it was, because of the length of the shipyard, which naturally they're always pretty, they're always pretty big anyway. And this happened when this happened in a fire that did the damage to a U.S. nuclear attack sub, which, you know what they cost. That's why $400 million. Casey James Fury, nice name there, admitted to two counts of arson in November in connection with the USS Miami last May. There was a small fire beneath the dry dock sub, and he was a painter and sandblaster at the Portsmouth Naval Yard in Maine. And he said he started the fires because he was having extreme anxiety and was trying to get out of work. Oh, that is not the way to get out of work. Remember, we had the guy that parachuted off the plane. Basically, he hit the safety, the emergency hatch, and he flew out, took a beer, and flew out of the plane when it was sitting there at the gate. Of course, a little bit different than a guy setting fire. Oh, I don't want to work. I'm going to just set fire to the place. That's what I'm going to do. I got to get out of work. I'm anxious, and I'm just going to blow the place up. So he could have faced life in prison on it, but the judge weighed the damage caused by the fire and the risk to, you know, life, because who knows what could have happened there. He took a plastic bag full of cotton rags, so easy to trace this, duh, in a cabin at the end of the Miami, and that started the whole thing. And it took them 12 hours to put this thing out. That's why the very, very big sentence for him, because that's a pretty big, what is it, 360 some feet. And this is fairly new too, 1990. And I guess he thought nobody would be able to trace it back to him. I don't know really what he was thinking when he did that. The anxious, trying to get out of work, and that was it, supposedly. Right? This is a big one. The U.S. flying B-52s over South Korea. You know, this has been brewing now for a couple of weeks, maybe even a little bit before that. So we're talking about exercises. The Air Force is breaking out its heaviest hardware, trying to send a message. Here we are. Don't jack with us. You don't want to do that. And the bombers fly out of Anderson Air Force Base on the Pacific Island of Guam, of course. That's part of the continuous presence they have there. And the round trip between Guam and the Korean Peninsula, if you were wondering, go try to MapQuest it, or I guess we're all beyond MapQuest, GPS it on your phone. You'd be looking at 4,000 miles. 4,000 miles. And the reason for the B-52 flyover is because of the high tension between North Korea and the United States after the UN Security Council voted to impose much tougher sanctions on North Korea with their latest nuclear test last month. So this is payback for that test. Seems as though Kim Jong-un is a little bit looser of a top, maybe even than his father. Hard to imagine, but maybe when you're in the shadows for a while and you're chomping at the bit to not be in the shadows, that's what happens. All right, and finally, here's our last we can count, because after all, it is about the numbers. U.S. Customs is driving visitors away. How about that? Why are they driving visitors away? And the reason why is a recent survey showed 43% of the travelers who visited the U.S. said they would discourage others from making the trip because of the entry process. Entry process not good, according to the hurdles of some of the folks that have had to do it. The overseas visitors have increased, but the market share in the United States is dropping. A lot of people are saying they don't feel welcomed. They don't feel welcome vacationing there because of what they have to go through once they finally get on land, the hoops that they have to jump through. The U.S. Travel Association estimates that losing overseas travelers to bad experiences or word of mouth is costing the economy at least $95 billion in total output. And the reason why people complain is the long lines. They had to wait more than 2 hours in some cases. Ooh, nobody wants to wait.
With all due respect, that's a bunch of malarkey.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables, and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanix.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.